Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Major alongside Alec Medford. We're having a good time in Burleson at Buffalo Wild Wings. Want to see you here while we're out here today. We got some Cowboys merch to give away. We also do have Shout Out Friday. Text in your shout outs. If you got some other games going on that you're interested in, text in and let us know about that one for sure. But right now it is time to talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Mickey, how are we doing today, good sir?
I'm just fine. Gosh, you guys are on a road trip, aren't you?
Yeah, this is the final Friday football feast of the season. So we will wrap this one up and then hope that we can get back at it next year again, Mickey. It's been
a lot of fun. Yeah,
we got a lot of Tolos that love getting out here, and they're all ready to hear you too. So that's nice, huh?
Well, then let's go.
Jerry was very adamant this morning about he wants to win this game against Washington. What do you think is the biggest factor in getting a win over Washington? Because I think this is a team that really does want to win also this week.
No, I think you're right. I think it's the whole thing is a matter of, you know, who's playing, how guys prepared. You know, like, because once you play, you're going to give everything you got, right? But the question is, did you prepare well this week? And then the other consideration is, what does Washington run to do? You know, are they gonna rest guys? Knowing that even if they win to move up a spot, they need the Bears to beat the Packers in Green Bay. I don't know what the percentages of that are, but they can't be very high, right? Mm-hmm. So I just wonder how Washington's gonna treat the game.
Yeah, I have this strong sense that they're gonna want to definitely come across with that win. We were just talking about Mike Zimmer a few minutes ago and what he had discussed earlier this week.
Right.
And I was kind of curious after what we heard from Jerry. Like, every time Jerry talked about Mike Zimmer this year, it was just glowing. And I know a lot of that, Mickey, has to do with the relationship, the time that they've had a relationship together. But what has been a huge difference you've seen with Mike Zimmer this year from maybe years in past?
Well, I think I like the way he started off when he talked about it the season, saying that, you know, when he got here, he wasn't ready to reinvent the wheel and you know, just make a dramatic change in a defense that had played somewhat well the previous season. So he said he tried to blend what he wanted to do with what was going on the previous couple years under Dan Quinn, and it sounded like he regretted that. And then as the season moved along, he kind of implemented his plan more than trying to blend something. And it looked like it started to work a little bit better during that streak when they won four of the five games going into the Philadelphia game. You know, and it's really hard to judge when you look at what he was up against in that Philadelphia game. You realize they've started seven different guys at cornerback. Seven. Think about it. We were sitting here, you know, during the middle part of the season saying, well, they've been playing without their top four defensive ends. Well, he ended up playing with seven different cornerbacks, and like now one, two, three of them are injured reserve, and Deron Bland spent the first 10 games of the season on PUP. So, you know, it's really hard to, evaluate, you know, not only him but the head coach on just what took place this year and why. We were talking the other day about the potentially the 14 teams in the playoffs. No one's going in there with a backup quarterback. And no one had to play nine games with a backup quarterback, right? So health has just sort of affected this season, you know, more than I think anybody wants to accept. I'm sure the coaching staff understands it, but I'm not sure everybody else does.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Mickey, Jerry gave us the ultimate competitive advantage of not revealing who was starting at quarterback this Sunday. Do you have any read on that? And if not, is there any reason to play Cooper Rush at this point outside of his incentive that he might be able to hit if he plays most of the game?
Yeah, and even if he doesn't, you can always, you know, do a kind of a brother-in-law thing and say, hey, we'll take care of you. We understand you would have earned that. And you can use that as part of your negotiation going forward for next year. Because those incentives aren't paid until the next salary cap season. So you can just say, okay, you earned the first $250,000. Because I think the first clause was 40-some percent of the snaps. And right now he's at 52, and the second clause is 55%. So obviously if they were playing for something, he would have earned that. So you could always do that and just kind of give him an elbow and say, don't worry about it. We'll put it in the negotiation going forward. Or, you know, and if he doesn't want to do that, then they could say, well, okay, then you don't get it. I don't think that should be part of the decision on if they start Trey Lance in the game. Because I'm thinking if they start him, Will Greer's the backup, right?
Ooh, I didn't – why would you say that?
I mean, just what – I mean, you're going to bring in Coop to kind of save the day or something?
Yeah, sorry. My brain was a little – that makes a lot of sense to have Will Greer.
And you give Will Greer a little pat on the back because – you can elevate him off the practice squad instead of making whatever the weekly thing is when you're on the practice squad, probably around, I don't know, $1,200, $1,500, whatever it is, no more than $2,000. You can get him the, you know, whatever minimum is on his contract and say, okay, we appreciate you, you know, we're going to keep you around next year, and so here's a little bump in salary. So I could see that going. I see no reason not to start Trey Lance, right? I mean, just, you know, he's been a good soldier. You know, give him a shot. And with the understanding that he hasn't started an NFL game since week two of the 2022 season in San Francisco. So, I think you give him a look. I don't see any reason not to.
Do you have the feeling like that with any other players on this team that you're like, I'd like to see them get a look, or is it more just like, no, let's just wrap this one up? Where are you feeling on that?
I mean, at some point, you know, you'll probably let Rico play a little bit, but, you know, throw Deuce Vaughn out there. Let's see him get more than, you know, a carry here or a snap there. Well, you know, give him a couple series, see what he can do. Now that Zeke's not there, you're going to need another running back to lean on. I don't know. You know, obviously they haven't thought much of Delvin Cook at this point. So,
true.
No sense looking at that. And you just give a guy that's another guy that's, you know, practiced and played hard when you've asked him to, and give him a longer look. So I could see that. But, Corey, after that, you know, they're kind of playing all those guys already.
Yes.
I don't know that there's anybody there sitting. You go, oh, I got to see this guy. You know, the only other thing I could see is maybe You tell Tyler Smith, hey, good job. Go ahead and take a break, and we'll play Hoffman and T.J. Bass at the guard positions. I could see that happening. But other than that, you know, Chuma Doga's been on the injury report all week, so, you know, Guyton's probably going to have to play. I could see something like that. But again, if you're going to give Trey Lance a chance to play, you don't want him out there with a bunch of backups on the offensive line. Now, saying all this, we still don't know how Washington's going to treat the game, right?
Yeah, I do know Lattimore is being ruled out for the hamstring. So
yeah, like he's been out, though,
yeah,
hasn't
that's
he?
A consistent thing.
You know, and how much are they going to play Jaden Daniels, you know,
right,
and why? Because think about it this way. They're the seventh seed, right? So if they win, they need Green, you know, they need the Bears to beat Green Bay and Green Bay to move to the sixth seed. So who would you rather play in the first round? The number two seed, Philadelphia, or the loser of Minnesota-Detroit?
Whew. Actually, man, that's a that's a really all three of those are tough options there, Mickey.
Right?
That's a, just
I'd kind of rather play Philadelphia.
Well, familiarity with Washington for sure, considering what they've gone through this year. So
right?
That makes sense. Yeah.
And you know, and who knows how well Hurts is at this point after you know suffering the concussion. And if you're just comparing quarterbacks, you know, those other quarterbacks are playing pretty darn well. You know, but again, then if you should survive, then you got to play one of those two teams in the next round, right? So mm-hmm. I don't know if there's any way to look at it other than how much Dan Quinn would value rest for his team going into the playoffs.
Now, Jerry Jones did answer Alex's question by saying regarding what Sunday's outcome could help decide. He said, no, the hay's in the barn.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Anything that they do on Sunday impacting his decisions. If the decision's kind of already made there, then, Mickey, which way do you lean on where this coaching staff? Is it a coaching staff search this offseason, or is it coaching bring back?
Yeah, and evidently he's got to a week from Tuesday to decide on that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's got to give, you know, teams permission to talk to Mike if they so ask. So, and he does have a relationship with New Orleans, right?
That's true.
Mickey Loomis, yeah, you know, mm-hmm. he was the coordinator there, 4 or 5 years in New Orleans. So, I don't know. I just think he's leaning to bringing them back. And then it'll be interesting to see what he does with the staff, because the staff is basically under the same circumstances. Their contract expires 14 days after or somewhere in there, 9 days after the last game. So, you know, maybe he brings them back and says, okay, but we need to make this position staff change or this one. It'd be interesting to see because, look, unless he's got somebody in his back pocket that he wants to hire for a head coach, you know, what are you going to do?
Very valid question.
Because you're starting from scratch if you bring in a new guy. And you're starting probably with a new offense also.
Sounds like they like coach philosophy. They like the way that he manages the business. Maybe they don't love the way the play calling went this year. Maybe
yeah, right. Well, okay. But again, remember,
he's the play caller.
You basically had 7 Pro Bowlers missing significant number of games. It's not just guys. It's the Pro Bowlers. And it's your quarterback. And so now how do you factor that into the evaluation? It's not his fault that they're hurt. You know, he does a better job than anybody I've seen come through here trying to take care of the players from a health standpoint. You know, making sure they're not over-practicing them, you know, kind of changing up the days, how many times, you know, they put the pad. Well, there's a rule on how many times you put the pads on, but, you know, how hard he practices, when he brings them in, when he tries to get them off the feet. And I think the players appreciate that, but... You know, when you're out there and you don't have DeMarcus Lawrence and, you know, you don't have all these guys that, you know, no more Trayvon Diggs, it's difficult out there. You didn't have Sam Williams the whole season. Zach Martin out now. What is this going to be, 5, 6 games he's missing? And he played through an injury, so he didn't play to the level he normally plays at. So there's a lot, I think, other factors other than, you know, play calling, right? Because the year before, they led the league in points scored. So he didn't get dumb overnight.
Mickey, it is that time, as Kevin always.
Oh, please.
Yes.
And it's the final one of the season.
You got to tell me what Washington is doing. Are they trying to win or not?
They're trying to win with Marcus Mariota, Mickey.
There you go. They're trying to win with a backup.
Well, then I'm going to take Trey Lance and the Cowboys.
All right. Do you have a number, though?
I have no idea. Yeah, I have. I mean, is he going to play his guy? I mean, you saw their injury report, all the guys that got rested the first day.
Oh,
there
yeah,
must have been a dozen of them, it seemed like.
Yeah. When Terry McLaurin was off, I was like, oh, man. Mm. That is a chaos one that they got built for.
This
Sunday.
Is one of those, if you bet on this game, you're crazy.
It's like betting on a preseason.
Yes,
game.
Exactly.
About Absolutely. To do it just because you said that, Mick.
Yeah, right. Okay, let me know how it turns out and how many points you get, too, by the way.
Awful.
We will check back in with you on Monday for the last one of this season, good sir.
Okay, I'll be here.
There he goes, Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. We'll get back with him Monday, and then that'll be it for the season, unless we need to talk to him, unless there's something important we just got to talk
like
with him about.
But
coming up next is time for Forgiveness Friday. Saquon Barkley, Travis Kelce, do any of these guys deserve forgiveness? Next on The Fan. We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Corey Majors alongside Alec Medford. Ruben Portillo is looking at the Buffalo Wild Wings menu right now, trying to figure out what burger he wants. Is it the burger or is it wing? Are you going after some wings? He wants some wings. I will tell you, though, this is a fantastic burger. If you're like, you know what, I got to try that burger that Corey's been talking about, you should do it today at Buffalo Wild Wings in Burleson while we are out here. I do want to say it is shout-out Friday, so if you want to get your shout-outs in right now, 877-881-1053, you can text those in, and we'll get to them. But here is the shout-out from the napkin. This is super special shout-out to the best Rocket League player I've ever seen and best teammate to ever live, Caitlin. Win or lose, I love playing beside you. My time with you counts more than you know. You're remarkable, wonderful, and I appreciate everything about you. Cheers to you on this day that's new. You are everything and more. That's from Ricardo. And then there is a math equation that I don't know, Alex. So if you're gonna,
I'm not good at math either.
Yeah,
so I'm just gonna show
help
it
with the math equation because I'm very. It says E equals MC squared pi. I believe it.
I like
equals,
pi.
It equals. I love pi. Pi is fantastic. So if you want to get your shout-outs in
what
right now, 877-881-1053. Who said what kind of pie? Was that you or Kevin Walker back in the studio?
That was me under my breath.
Okay. No.
I wasn't proud of it, that's why.
I mean, I'll go with it's the buttercream pies. Those are the ones that get me the most.
It was
for
so
sure.
Good, but such a wrong answer. the only right answer was my peanut butter pie.
Oh, the peanut butter pie is fantastic. You know what, dude? Sorry. You're going to have to forgive me. My brain's been a little off over the last couple
weeks. Friday.
It is
very,
Friday.
Very fitting.
And it is time for Forgiveness Friday. 877-881-1053. Text in anything you need to be forgiven for. Maybe it's something that you've done this week, or maybe it's something that you plan on doing next week. Go ahead and get your forgiveness in right now. And, Alec, I would like to ask for forgiveness for not recommending your peanut butter pie first and foremost.
I will always grant you forgiveness, Corey, because you are a lot nicer to me when it comes to food than Kevin Hagelin, than Mike Bassick. So since they are not here to represent themselves, I'm just going to say I will forgive you for anything and everything.
One of my favorite moments that we've ever had with when we've been on the road is very early on. For some reason, I don't know why, Spittle felt like he had to come out while we were in Arizona one year and be with our show. And he needed to monitor us.
That's
what I'm going to call it, is he was monitoring.
He was chaperone. Yeah.
I think mostly it's because Colby was with us for the first time ever.
That makes sense.
And so he was like, I got to keep an eye on these guys. So we get out there and everything, and we're sitting down, and the boss spends, I don't know, man. He spends about 45 minutes working on dinner. And he made a huge pile of nachos. And when I say a huge pile, I mean a tray that was as big as a pizza dish, and it stacked about a foot high.
Yeah, man.
And it was chicken nachos with onions and everything. And I was like, man, this is phenomenal. And when I saw him cutting onions, I was like, well, Kevin's never eating that. It was my first thought. But I was like, well, I'll just let him live out life and see how it goes. And so then whenever the food, like the boss comes out and he's like, all right, guys, the nachos are ready. And I was like, awesome. And I just took a spatula and just took a huge, and I was like, this is great. And I'm just, ah. And then I see Kevin stand up and he walks over and he looks at the nachos and he gets real close and he looks at them for a second. And then he stands up and he kind of looks up at out the window and he walks over and grabs a plate. And then he grabs a loaf of bread, and he grabs peanut butter and jelly, and he grabs turkey and cheese, and he makes two sandwiches. He makes a peanut butter jelly, and he makes a turkey and cheese sandwich, and he sits down and eats his sandwich without ever saying a word. And Gavin looks at me and he's like, hey, is there something wrong with the nachos? And I was like, well, there's onions in it for one. And he was like, why wouldn't he just tell me that? And I was like, I don't know, man. That's something you're going to have to talk about with Kevin. Hey. So, yes, that palate of a four-year-old, that is how Kevin does not like your peanut butter pie.
I mean, not everybody can be like Phil Sims and love his onions, man.
Onions. Oh, I love onions.
I love
and
onions.
Oranges. Oh, it's oranges. Got great stuff. If y'all haven't heard that commercial, it's our favorite to make fun of around here. From the 817, shout out to my wife for giving me the most perfect first son a guy could ask for. Wouldn't want to do life with anyone else. Truly a rich and blessed man. That is awesome right there. Shout out from another napkin from the 832. Amanda, my loving wife for 22 years. Couldn't be the person I am without you. You're my forever and always. Love, Donald. He didn't say love, Donald. I added that to it, but I don't think he's going to.
You're getting him some brownie points.
Yeah,
look at that.
Gonna, yeah.
Yeah.
From the 682, I forgive my dad for turning me into an alcoholic.
I was not ready for that. I was not ready for that.
I got questions about that,
though. Yeah, me too.
So my question is, like, is it the genetics that you're blaming, or is it, like, was there a specific traumatic incident that caused that? So that's the one I want to ask about there, because I just would like to know.
Or maybe they hang out a lot, and their, like, preferred method of bonding is, you know, having a couple brews.
Yeah, let's drink it. Let's drink a beer together.
Yeah.
From Tolo Vader on the Twitch, Toloing from snowy Ohio. Shout out to all the Tolos. Happy New Year. Pitchers and catchers report before we even know it.
That's true.
And then from the 469, please forgive me for telling people I haven't seen them since last year. That is a joke that my son Carter is running around our house right now too. He is he walked in the other day and he goes, Dad, we got to get rid of that queso in the garage. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, we got to get rid of it. It's been in the fridge since last year. And I was like, oh my gosh, I wanted to hate it, but because of how much we throw that Kevin's way, I mean,
yeah.
And you know what? Now it's going to feel like even longer since we've seen Kevin whenever he's finally back, too.
Yeah, this extended vacation is definitely, it's going to induce some jokes. And I mean, I missed an opportunity. I haven't seen you since last year, man.
I know.
It's been a while. Good to see you. I'm glad you made it out here in one piece.
From the 682, shout out Bleed Blue fam. It was a great fantasy season from Sacco to number one. Told you last year was a fluke. Never again. Peace be on to you, brothers. So we appreciate that from the 682. Let's dive into some Forgiveness Friday, and we'll start things off with Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley, he has a new ad. And evidently, John Mara, when they were moving on from Saquon Barkley, he said, I'll have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philadelphia during their Hard Knocks episode.
Yep.
And he said that, and I think that they've had a hard time sleeping this year. Saquon Barkley's been fantastic throughout this season. Well, Saquon Barkley put a new ad together with Unisom, and this is what it sounded like a little bit.
Having trouble sleeping, so I wrote you a lullaby. Rock-a-bye, baby, awaken your bed. As the thought of 2000 swirls in your head, it sure is tough to lose sleep over football. Not for me, though. Good night to you all.
And that is some master trolling right there from Saquon Barkley. I wonder if that was him or if they presented it to him and they were like, hey, we think this would be funny.
Yeah.
Either way, good job, Saquon Barkley.
Either way, he has to sign off on it and be like, yeah, like I'll sit there and read that.
The words do have to come out of his mouth.
Exactly. So I give him all the flowers for that. And, you know, I hate that he's in the still in the division. But, man, watching him this season has been so fun. And to cap it off with an ultimate troll job like that, because the Giants are an abysmal franchise and it's so fun to dunk on them, that was beautiful. That was masterful. Great job to Saquon and company for making that happen. And the reason I'm okay with them, like, taking it a step further like that is because the Giants were just cheap. It's not like they couldn't afford him. They could. They quite literally chose a quarterback that is no longer on their team other than him. So
I do wonder if he would have had this special of a season with the Giants.
No, not at all.
Kind of like Derrick Henry wouldn't have had this. I don't think he would have had the special season with the Cowboys.
Not at all.
But you're right. Like, that was a dude that you drafted for the reason of, like, he's the star to build around. And they decided not to. Should Travis Kelce and or Caitlin Clark be given forgiveness? This is Caitlin Clark on the New Heights podcast talking about her favorite Chief.
You said your brother's favorite player was Tony Gonzalez. Who's your favorite player or is?
Oh, is? I mean, obviously Travis is up there.
Yeah!
I made
but it. But I'm obviously a big Patrick fan, too.
How can you not be?
Like, the both of you. You're pretty great.
I'm here.
So that's Travis Kelce at the end doing the Kermit voice.
I'm here.
Throwing that out there. Should he get forgiveness for throwing that voice out there? Should Caitlin Clark be forgiven for saying that Travis is her favorite over Patrick Mahomes?
Caitlin, I say yes, because she can do no wrong in my mind.
Oh, really?
Ruben just handed me some breaking news. Hold on just a second. We asked Jerry Jones. Would Bevo be at the Cotton Bowl? According to the Texas football Twitter page, he is in. He will be at AT&T Stadium.
There it is. Bevo is going to be out there at AT&T Stadium for the big game. So congratulations to everybody that was concerned about that. I wonder if Jerry picked up the phone right after he was done with us and was like, guys, we need Bevo at that field.
I mean, he did that with Sean and RJ at the trade deadline. He was like, yeah, I'm working on a deal right now for a receiver. Hangs up with them 5 minutes later. The deal is official. Like, he has that kind of pull. I'm sure somebody heard that and said, hey, can we get this like worked out now? And they got it worked out.
If it wasn't for the K&C masterpiece, we might not have had Bevo on the sidelines.
Thank you very much.
We are the Bevo show of record.
We got our UT listener here. He's wearing his Take a Load Off shirt today.
Wonder if Bevo's going to take a load off.
That was his question for sure. Oh, man, hold on. Did this post got removed? Oh, my gosh. All right, so have you seen the picture of Cam Scataboo that's been floating around?
I don't think so.
A dude posted a picture, and I don't have it anymore because it looks like he's taken it down, that said that it was a picture of Scataboo, and he had his back to the bar, and it looked like a hotel lobby. And there were a bunch of people standing around drinking, and the guy said something along the lines of, hey, no wonder we didn't lose, or we didn't win. This guy's out partying late and everything. And Scataboo comes back and said, dude is a clown. That was at 8:30 p.m., and I was with family. Yes, they were drinking alcohol, and if you know anything about me, I don't drink. But I'm sure you posted it to get clout. It's pretty sickening. And I appreciate Cam Scataboo like pointing out, hey, that's not me. And I know on Dan Patrick's show, he was like, look, I may have had a bad sandwich or something. And like he was like, I was chugging Powerade water at the same time. That's why I threw up. But will you forgive the guy that took the picture and was like, maybe this is the reason y'all lost, party guy?
No, never. I hate when people, you know, they chase that moment, especially if said person pays for the check mark on Twitter so they can make money off of the impressions thereafter. It's like that's really lame. And two, the guy's already dealing with losing a really close and tough game. So you can imagine, and he said he was there with his family. So it's like, can the guy not just enjoy one heck of a season that he had, capping it off, heading it off into the sunset, hopefully a Dallas Cowboy, and, you know, enjoy himself after a tough season and a game where, you mentioned it, he wasn't having a great day. Like, he had a great day on the field, but on the sideline, he wasn't having a good time.
He was the MVP on the field.
Exactly. if not for anything he did on the field, because of that. He's my spirit animal because of that.
He's
because
a beast.
That takes me back to my track days where I would do the same exact thing and then go run the 300 hurdles and act like nothing happened. I hated it.
We got from the 575, shout out to my beautiful, actually they said beautiful two times. That's double beautiful wife, Hannah. It's her birthday Sunday. Thank her so much for, she brings out the best in me. Love giving her, living life with her. That's from Daniel. And then shout out to my brother, Trace, who's driving around all day. Thanks for always putting up with me, bro. Nice to hear, man. Nice to hear that you are loving your brother out there. So that's okay, right, to say it that way? You love your brother.
We don't
that's
live
a good
in
thing.
Alabama.
You love your brother. And then from the 817, shout out Friday. Shout out to my ex. See you in court. All right, coming up next here on the K&C Masterpiece, it's time for some gridiron gravy. History on the way this Sunday next on The Fan. Back here on the K&C Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we're live from Burleson's Buffalo Wild Wings. You want to come join us today? You can come be part of this crew right here. It is 12832 South Freeway. Would love to see you out here in Burleson today getting some ice-cold beers. I know some people have been drinking since 9 o'clock this morning, some people can start drinking a little later if they would like to. We do have another shout-out, big shout-out from another napkin. Shout-out to my lovely wife, Tatum, for putting up with me. There's a lot of guys that feel like their significant others just put up with them, and that's a good thing, man, if you got one like that that'll just put up with you.
I feel like everybody in my life just puts up with me, and I appreciate that.
I won't disagree with that. All right, right now it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy. Gridiron gravy brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your house? God, I love that part. That's awesome. Guys, if you are planning on starting Tua in your fantasy league, I would probably make other plans. Tyler Huntley is set to start another game for the Dolphins. Mike McDaniel said, we'll approach it like Snoop starting. It looks like that the way that I approached the week was probably smart. I see it as unlikely that Tua will see any action, understanding he's dealing with that hip injury. It's got to be so frustrating to be Mike McDaniel, have really good offensive plays, you know, in the bag, and you're like, okay, but my quarterback's Tua. And I just know that I might be missing him for 8 games a year. Like, yeah. It might be 8, it might be 10, it might be more, but it's not going to be less most of the time because Tua, whatever it is with his body, this is a hip injury, which that was his problem whenever he came out of college, and then he's had the concussion problem since then. That's just got to be a really frustrating thing.
And as the head coach, even more so, because you're not the one that inked him to the long-term deal.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that Mike McDaniel lays his head on his pillow every night and says, I wish I had a different quarterback. He probably loves Tua, and he's openly expressed that. But at some point, you got to be like, man, the front office needs to help me out here. It's not just the quarterback. It's with, you know, all 53 on the active roster. But, you know, that's got to be really frustrating, like you said, knowing that I'm going to be without him at some point this year. Roll the dice and flip the coin whenever that's going to be. We have no idea. And, I mean, Bassick's making the same point about Dak. He's saying, you know, you want your backup quarterback to come in with the expectation that I'm probably going to play for an IR stint. I'm probably going to play 4 games, if not more. And that's been the case with a lot of these marquee quarterbacks. Justin Herbert has had his issues, you know, staying on the field, not so much this year, but in the years past. You've seen that with some of the other guys, too, some of the big names. Like, you know, you're lucky if you're Buffalo that Josh Allen hasn't had too many of those situations. But some of these quarterbacks on longer-term deals have found themselves, you know, landing on IR for even if it's the bare minimum 4 games. So that's almost like a job requirement for the backup now. You're not just the clipboard holder. If you're on a contending team, there's a chance you're going to have to play, if not for a Week 18 non-important game.
Well, and I mean, or for an important game the way that Romo's backup had to do most of the time. I mean, A, that's how Dak Prescott got his career. You had Brad Johnson whenever you had Pinky incident. You had Kyle Orton, who was playing in very big games late in the season there, too. That was at Green Bay, I believe. He was trying to get that 3rd-and-1 with a pass, and no, they didn't get it. And like, so the end of Romo's career consisted of a lot of that, too. It's deathly frustrating for fans, for sure. But you're right. Making sure you have a quality backup so that the season's not lost in these situations is important. A lot of these guys are like, hey, what's something that looks kind of like our quarterback that can do some things?
Yeah.
Or a lot of guys are just like, let's throw a running quarterback in as the backup and just let him go.
Exactly. The Ravens did that with Snoop Huntley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they literally said, can we find another dual threat quarterback that we can kind of get educated throughout the season? And lo and behold, they actually needed him for a few games, and they won a few games with him. So you've seen that model before, and, you know, it's kind of odd that that's become more of a talking point. I mean, heck, we've been talking about it for most the season now, it feels like, with the Cowboys because of Trey Lance, you know, and the athlete that he is. The backup quarterback has become a very big talking point for a lot of people.
After Sunday's game, Mike McCarthy pretty much doesn't really have a lot of work to do unless he's coming back for sure. But he's still going to be working for the Cowboys for another 9 days. This was reported that his contract expires on January 14th. Under the NFL's tampering policy, a head coach cannot talk to other teams until his contract expires. However, after the season's ended, his current team has the power to say, yes, you can talk. They can give permission, or to give general permission to the coach to talk to other teams, or say, hey, no, you can't talk to our coach. The threshold question is whether the Cowboys will play like hardball with McCarthy and they're going to force him to wait till the January 14th to do interviews with other teams. They could hold firm simply because Jerry Jones might prefer to, you know, do what he does with the news cycle. When Mickey was talking about that earlier, I was like, yeah, but there's no way. Jerry Jones wants headlines.
Yeah.
He will go, you know, what's the best way for me to hold on to this? So that wait, that period, it could freeze him out. It could freeze McCarthy out of being able to interview for jobs and then put him in a bad position. I don't know that they would want to do that to him, but I do know that they do like the headlines. And again, after all of our discussions this morning,
yeah,
I still don't have a complete consensus yet.
I wonder if the headlines that they allow, that they create on their own, is letting McCarthy talk to other teams just to drum up interest, just to get people talking about, oh, they're actively letting him think about a future beyond Dallas, beyond the Cowboys. And if he does, like Mickey threw out, there's a very strong connection between him and New Orleans and the Saints because of the GM, Mickey Loomis, out there. Maybe they say, I've heard a lot about Aaron Glenn for the Saints. I still think that's the guy for them. But maybe they say, look, we've got to interview at least, you know, four or five people. Let's talk to McCarthy. Let's see what a vision would look like with him. You know, maybe we're not super serious about it, but let's talk to him and see. Let's ask permission just to have a conversation. And maybe Jerry and Steven say, sure, you can talk to him and see what happens. And it's almost like the Lamar Jackson transition tag situation, or the non-exclusive franchise tag, where it's like, we're going to let other people come to us and say how interested the league is in him and what the market is for him, and then we'll make our final decision.
Yeah, maybe that's the way they do it. Sunday night's regular season finale carries a lot of importance as it pertains to the NFC North title and playoff seeding. In fact, it might be the most significant regular season game in NFL history. And here's why. The 28 combined wins between the Vikings and Lions are the most shared by two teams in a regular season matchup in NFL history. The best was 25, and it was the Patriots and Giants in 2007. And that was also tied with 2005 Colts and Seahawks, according to NFL research. The 272nd and final regular season of the game, or of 2024, is going to be two teams with 14-plus wins, and only the sixth such game, including the five such playoff matchups. So you're going to have playoff matchup. You're also going to have the potential for, you're going to have the most wins between two teams. I'm excited about this game. There aren't a lot of them that I'm like really jacked about, but this one in particular, we'll talk a little more at noon about this. This in particular does have a lot of juice going into it on Sunday night, so that's going to be one that you're going to keep an eye on.
Mm.
The coaching search at New York Jets did have Ron Rivera finishing up his yesterday. I know Louis Riddick is another name that's been thrown into that ring. Have you heard any other names for the Jets job?
I did see that today Mike Vrabel will be interviewing with the Jets. And that's intriguing because, one, I don't know how bad he would want that job. But, two, this is going to be the start of the Mike Vrabel cycle. I think outside of Ben Johnson, he's going to be the name that everybody's talking about. And every fandom that has an open head coaching spot is going to say, that's our guy. That's our guy because he's the true leader of men. He's a great defensive play caller. And he's the former player. That seems to be the new mold in the NFL, is going after the former players or the guys that have just, you know, at least been a part of it, been immersed in it. You saw it in Houston with D'Amico Ryans, and you're seeing it in other places as well, where if you can get that guy that knows what it's like to be in a locker room that's won, in a locker room that's struggled, in a locker room that's been mediocre, that's been average, that's been there, done that, in any kind of situation, and that can connect with his players, you're going to see a lot of kind of interest building up for those guys. Ben Johnson, obviously being the genius he is on offense, is going to get most of the conversation, but He gets the almost the luxury of being super picky with where he's going to go, because he's got a great gig right now that I'm sure is paying him rather a lot. Kind of like how Jerry kept on giving Dan Quinn pay raises to keep staying here. Guarantee you the Lions are like, we'll up it to whatever we have to keep you around here. We'll give you, you know, bottom tier head coach money to play call plays for us just because we want to keep you around. You saw him do that last year where he was literally getting on a plane to go talk to Washington, and then he was like, no, I'm good. I think I'm going to stay here.
For the 940, shout out to my new friend Flip. I met on New Year's Eve. Also loves the KNC masterpiece. Shout out to both of you. And then somebody said, which restaurant are you guys at? We're at Buffalo Wild Wings in Burleson today, so come see us. Come see all the Tolos that you want to be out here with as well. And from the 469, shout out to my babe, Linda, who fractured her back 2 weeks ago before Christmas. She's a warrior. Good God, fracturing backbones and stuff like that. Not
that doesn't
fun.
Sound fun at all.
At all. There was one other note. Oh, here it is. This is that I wanted to get to. The Thursday Night Football averaged over 14 million viewers this year, which is quality stuff.
Yeah.
The average last year was 11.86 million viewers. I'm sorry. 2023 was 11.86, and 2024 was 13.2. And that even counted the terrible, terrible, awful Bears-Seahawks game that went into it that people were like, why am I still watching this?
Yeah.
But congratulations to them. I think I was already on my way to the hospital around the time that game wrapped up.
There was never a better time to go to the hospital. There's never a good time to go, but if you were watching that football game, you may as well go for fun.
They were like, hey, my body was like, hey, look, you're putting us through this. Can you stop? And we got to go to the ER right now. All right, coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, of all the NFL games this weekend, which one captures your hearts and minds the most? We'll do it next on The Fan.